Genesis 37. Picking up, if we could now, at verse number 15. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence. For I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, notice please, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Bless now the preach word for thy glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. This section we've entitled Raising a Dreamer. We are looking in scripture and watching the beginnings of the life of Joseph. We've been following the life of his father from conception, and here we are. He dwells in the land of Canaan with a number of sons, but Joseph seems to be the highlighted one. He is a dreamer. The settled family finds themselves as pilgrims just passing through. Aren't you glad that the Bible reminds us that we are just pilgrims passing through? Amen. This world is not our home. We're not going to stay here. By the way, I don't want to stay here. Amen. I like where I'm going. I have not seen, ear have not heard. We can't even begin to understand what heaven's going to be like, but I know it's going to be good. The gates and the streets and the mansions and the food and the river of life. But the main event in heaven, what makes it so great, is that Jesus is going to be there. And I'm looking forward to it. He's just a pilgrim passing through, Jacob is. We're introduced to his special favor on Joseph, if you would. Joseph was in a loved position and therefore given a lavishing presentation, his coat of many colors, significant of the love from his father. By the way, aren't you glad that God makes it very clear that he loves you? Amen. He showers his love on us every single day. He reminds us that he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. We love him because he first loved us. But this special favor created some sibling friction. Hateful sentiments that brought about harmful speech. They could not speak peaceably unto him, verse number 4, because they hated him. And we have shared on a number of occasions that sometimes the favor of God on your life will cause friction with others. Not everybody is going to enjoy your blessings. They wouldn't have a problem with them if they had them. And yet you're on the receiving end of them. And folks tend to express great disdain when favor comes from somebody, especially when they figure that somebody should show the very same favor on them. So there is sibling friction going on amongst these brothers. They can't stand them. But then we began last week, if you would, to highlight the sincere faith of Joseph. Joseph's faith did not begin in Egypt. Joseph's faith did not begin when he was governor and ruler of the food. Joseph's faith did not begin as a seasoned Bible character. Joseph's faith did not begin when he had everything at his disposal. Joseph's faith is very clearly seen as a 17-year-old boy. And I'm glad that God can use us at a young age. Don't wait for your faith to begin when everything's well. Let your faith start and continue to grow. So we see his faith demonstrated in his servant diligence, if you would. He's feeding the flock. Do I have to have a big job to have faith? No, but you ought to do well at whatever your job is. He's feeding the flock. It's not exactly prestigious. It's not exactly illustrious, but it's where God has him at 17. And I would remind us tonight that we may be in a position that is not exactly exactly preferential or favorable. Here's what you have to determine as a child of God. I'm going to be faithful where I am. I may not like it. I may not have chosen it. I may not be being treated right. But that should not infringe on my responsibility to be faithful. Pastor, I'm in a trial. I'm battling a difficulty. I'm in a valley. I don't know what to do. I want to get out of here. I can't wait till things get better. I understand your sentiments, but I'm telling you, at your lowest moments, at your darkest hour, God still expects you to be faithful. Somebody's got to leave the building tonight and say, wherever I am, whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm encountering, by the grace of God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what God's called me to do where I am. Servant diligence, spiritual dependability. He brought back the evil report. You could trust him. Watch this now. You weren't going to get away with nonsense with Joseph around. May God give us spiritual people who know how to recognize an evil report and to do something about it. He brought back the evil report. He took it to Daddy. The boys are not behaving properly. Daddy, and I think you need to know. By the way, sometimes you can head off some nonsense if you'll speak up about it. Amen. Supernatural dream. He dreams a dream. The shared declaration. He tells them about it. The sustained dedication. He keeps on going with it and dreams another dream. This dream and this very specific depiction of the dream is not exactly in good favor with the brothers. The dream involves one sheep and the other 11 sheep are bowing down to the sheep. Joseph wants them to know, I'm the one sheep and you all are the 11 sheep. I don't think he was bragging, just telling the dream. Amen. By the way, sometimes God tells you some things that are in your favor. And sometimes when you tell them to other people, it sounds like you're bragging. I'm telling you what, God's so good. When you tell him how good he is to you, it does sound like you're bragging. But aren't you glad he's a good God? Sometimes people don't want to hear about what God is doing in your life. I'm listening to me. I don't think you ought to bite your tongue on the blessings of God. Amen. You should not lift up your name. You should not try to make yourself be something greater than you are. But you ought to be able to talk about the goodness of God without embarrassment. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Listen, we ought to be able to tell people, God is moving in my life. God is blessing in my life. God has given me something out of my Bible reading. God has answered my prayer. By the way, people don't mind telling you how bad their lives are going. You ought to be able to tell them, listen to me, through this crazy world, through this wicked flesh, through this lying devil, I still have a God that's been good to me. They didn't like it. And so this seething disdain came about them, if you would. They hated him even more, verse 8. Dreamed another dream, as we spoke about, and he hated him even more. This time, the mother and the father are bowing down. And now there's a scoffing disbelief from even the dad. All right now. Watch it, boy. I mean, first you got your brothers bowing down to you. Now you got me and your mama involved. And yet this is the work of God. Do you hear me now? God is speaking to Joseph. Amen. And sometimes he's going to speak to you. And not everybody's going to understand. But you better know the voice of God. Amen. I said you better know the voice of God. And you better not wait for the jury of your peers to agree with you. There's multitude in the counselors of safety. And there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And no question about it. And you certainly shouldn't be trying to propagate something God told you that doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm just simply saying God's voice does not need human validation. Let me say that again. God's voice does not need human validation. Everybody in your family doesn't have to understand God called you to preach. Everybody in your church doesn't have to understand God wants you to give. Everybody that's doing your finances doesn't have to understand what God put on your heart for faith promise missions. But what does need to happen, you got to be honest enough to know the voice of God and roll with it. Amen. And so now the sound of discernment of his father, verse number 11, he observed the same. He didn't understand it, but he wasn't about to take it from him. He didn't understand it, but he wasn't about to knock him for it. And if we're not careful, we'll criticize people over what God told them just because he didn't tell us. Preach, pastor. You're not slated to be God. Last time I checked, he was doing fine at being that himself. Now, we're going to look beyond here, as we began last week, what I call scheming foolishness. Would you look at, listen just a moment. This point involves the brothers of Joseph involved in this scheming foolishness. And here's what I want you to see tonight. They jumped into scheming foolishness simply because they didn't like what God was doing in their brother. And now they're going off the deep end. They're out of control. They're absolutely riding off the rails. Listen, not over something he did to them. Not over something that God didn't give them. Over the fact he told you something that involves us and we don't like it. And I want you to see this because I want you to be honest enough with yourself and cautious enough in your Christian life that you will admit that a simple problem with the will of God in someone else's life will mess up the work of God in my life. This is the problem. Notice the everyday goings in verse number 12. They're just feeding the flock. They're living their lives like normal. But here's the problem. They're bitter. Huh? Bitterness doesn't mean you don't leave the house and you don't do anything. You can go to work, come home, cook dinner, go to the gym, come to church, and do it every week out of the month and still be bitter. Just doing what you do. Oh, no, he can't be bitter. I just saw him yesterday. He can't be bitter. She just at work yesterday. She can't be bitter. I just saw her at church. She can't be bitter. They're sitting in the car. Listen. Just because you feed and flock and doing like you normally do doesn't mean you got something in your heart that won't eventually take you somewhere you don't belong. Everyday goings, just feeding the flock. The exemplary obedience of Joseph. Notice, Joseph, verse 13, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, I'll send thee unto them. And he said unto him, hear my. Last week we spoke about the exemplary obedience of Joseph, but then we talk even beyond there at the endearing outlook of Joseph. Go see whether it be well with them. Bring me word again. He sent him out in the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. He's just off checking on his brothers who don't even like him. That's how you know you're walking with God. Amen. When you can go investigate the well-being of individuals who don't even want you to be well. How much time this week did you spend thinking well of people that think evil of you? Well, no, I don't, but I sure like Genesis chapter 50. You better handle 37 first. Come on. Everybody wants to sit on the throne with Joseph. Who wants to go visit them evil brothers with Joseph? I ain't going to see them. They didn't come see me without his hospital when I was in the hospital. I ain't give them a gift. They didn't give me nothing for my birthday. Come on. I'm not speaking. They don't ever speak to me. What I got to do with you and God? Listen, you're going to mess up your dream acting like people. You listen to me? Listen, you're going to mess up the rest of your life trying to keep up with people. Trying to be evil because people are evil to you. Trying to get back because they get back at you. I thought you heard from God. I thought God was taking you somewhere. I thought God was speaking in your heart. I thought God was moving in your heart. Joseph, you don't have time to be acting like people. God's got you on a journey. Don't slow down for them. And so this endearing outlook. Now notice this evil obsession. He runs into a man wandering in the field. The man asks him, 15, who are you looking for? What seekest thou? 16, I seek my brethren where they feed their flock. And the man informs them where they are. Verse 17, I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So he sends Joseph to Dothan. He's still on. By the way, this just came to me. It wasn't in my notes. But you know, when you're intent on obeying the Father, you'll take whatever strides are necessary to make sure obedience takes place. You know, some folks would have said, well, I look for them, I ain't find them, so I'm going back home. It's amazing how quick people are to quit on the path of obedience. We'll jump through 5 hoops to live for the devil, right? And miss church when we sneeze. Are you listening? I'm just simply saying, here's a stranger in the field. And he says, I'm looking for my, why are you asking this God where your brothers are? Because daddy sent me on a mission. It ought to be in the Christian life when the father gives us some instructions, we'll do whatever's necessary to get it done. If God says go, I'm going to ask questions and find out what's necessary. I will not go back home to the father without obeying what he told me to obey. By the way, he never made it back home. At least in this chapter. Obedience for Joseph was the most risky option. And yet he did it anyway. You can't obey when it's convenient. You got to obey because you're told. So here's the evil obsession. They spot him afar off. Verse 18. They saw him afar off before he came near to them. And I want you to notice the phrase, verse 18. They conspired. It literally means to work an evil secret plan. It means to unite together in order to do somebody wrong. It's not a word with a positive connotation. When you conspire, you're not huddling up to try to find out the meaning of a passage so you can better live it for the glory of God. That's not what conspire means. When you conspire, you're up to no good. Evil obsession. Let's see what we can do to kill him. This is where bitterness will take you. Something that's wrong in your heart, if it doesn't get right, it will make you want to do wrong to somebody else. Evil obsession. Notice what they called him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. I call this an explicit observation. This dreamer cometh. I'm wondering how a huddle of brothers sees another brother walking towards them and can't come up with a better description of him than dreamer. Now here comes Joseph. Here comes our brother. Not even here comes daddy's favorite. Here comes this dreamer. This is how they recognized him. That's exactly what he was. Hey, let me tell you something. You get a dream from the Lord. But I'm not talking about some way out vision. I'm talking about a task that God has called you to. I'm talking about a desire to do something great for the Lord that God puts in your heart. Listen to me. People may not even like you, but they'll know you're a dreamer. There goes preacher man. There goes prayer warrior. There goes church shouter. There goes Mr. Soul Winner. You better get out the way. He'll be trying to get you saved. And you've been saved for 15 years. Your reputation precedes you. Just because people don't understand you doesn't mean they're not paying attention to you. Nobody on my job ever wants to come to church. Nobody on my job ever wants me to tell him about Jesus. Nobody ever agrees with me when I discuss issues based upon the Bible. Don't stop talking about the Bible. Don't quit living for God. Don't quit inviting people to church. They may not be coming, but they're paying attention to you. Here comes that dreamer. Here he comes. And all of a sudden, this extreme opinion surfaces. Verse 20. Let's kill him. Let's cast him in a pit. And we'll say some beast devoured him. Listen to the language of these blood brothers. We shall see what will become of his dream. That's devilish stuff. Look at me. Look at me. That's devilish stuff. Listen to this talk. Let's kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. Let's say a beast devoured him. And then the last one, which makes it even worse. And then let's see what happens to him. Listen, that's been the devil's scheme all along. To stamp out the plan of God. Come on, come on. Here's what he's saying. If I kill him, let's see if his dream can come true. Hey, listen to me. The devil tried that for 66 books. He lost in the Bible, and he's losing now. And he's going to lose in the end. And let me tell you something. The last thing you need to do is let people think that the devil is bigger than God. They want to cancel your dream. They want to stop what God is doing in your life. It may be financial struggle or physical calamity or human opposition, but you look that in the face and determine, if God worked in my life, nothing and nobody can shut down my dream. What a shame. I cringe just reading how these boys are talking. And then here comes Reuben. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands. Jumped in and grabbed Joseph in so many words. Let's not kill him. 22. Shed no blood. Cast him into a pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father. He's doing the best he can trying to save him. It's what I call an exceptional objection. You know, I think if you study history, there always seems to be a Reuben around. Just somebody in the midst of fools with some sense. I preached a message called Where is Phineas? Maybe I'll preach a message called Where is Reuben? Where's Reuben? Somebody with some mercy in them. Watch this. Somebody, when everybody's huddled up saying the same thing, that's not going to agree with nonsense just because everybody's saying it. Preach, Pastor. See if you're not careful, you go run up on something and go look what y'all saying. For long, you be joining in, don't even know what you're saying. They say, hoo, hoo, hoo. You say, hoo, hoo, hoo. And they say, boo, boo, boo. You say, boo, boo, boo. And you're just making a bunch of nonsense. Somebody say, hoo, 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 boo, 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 nothing. This is foolishness. Amen. And once I run to these young people around here and they say a word, I say, what's that mean? Well, it means this. Well, that's not what it means in the dictionary. No, but why, the way we use it. Well, what do you mean, way we use it? You ever thought about using the words in the dictionary? Watch it now, young people. You're not careful. You'd be saying something dumb that some insane rapper came up with. And before long, you'd be saying a word that sounds cool and it disgraces God. Somebody got to walk up on one of these big old young lingo crowds and say, no. This doesn't make any sense. We don't need to be doing this. We don't need to be talking like this. We don't need to be wearing this. This is Reuben. Let him go. We don't need to kill him. We don't need to shed any blood. This is wrong. We're mad with Joseph for nothing. You're mad about his dream. You're mad about what God said to him. You wouldn't be mad if you had the dream. Some of you say, I didn't see Reuben saying all that. I'm preaching this message. Be quiet. He had to be thinking it. It's not in there. I'm just talking. But the Bible tells us, verse 22, what Reuben's goal was. His suggestion, the alternative suggestion that he gave his brothers, was with this in mind, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. To put him in this pit in the wilderness and don't put anything on him. He's trying to save him. I know somebody's thinking Reuben's a little soft. I wonder if we had some more Christians in 2020 with some grace on them. It used to be Christian people used to huddle up together because it's so dangerous out there in the world. You never find anybody more ruthless than a child of God. They will rip you up and tear you up and put a hallelujah and an amen on the end of it. Pastor, how can I be a Reuben? You can be a Reuben by walking up on a gossiping conversation in the foyer of a church and shutting it down. Preach, Pastor. You can be a Reuben by jumping in on one of them blogs or one of them Facebook pages where people are just spatting out things at each other. And you can say, this is not Christian. Why y'all were loud about the gossip part? I got on Facebook, you're quiet. I'm not against it, just about 99% of it. I'm just simply saying somebody's got to walk up and somebody's got to diffuse spiteful situations. No, let's not do this. This is war. This is war. Shed no blood. Verse 23. Joseph was come unto his brethren. They stripped Joseph out of his coat. I wrote this down. There's an enacted option here. They stripped his coat that was on him, took him in the pit. The pit was empty, no water in it. This is cruel, isn't it? Good night. Throw your brother down there where ain't no water. What jealousy and bitterness had you doing a bunch of nonsense. Sat down to eat bread. Now, they got him where there's no water, no food. They outside of it eating. What's evil? And here come the Ishmaelites, or the Midianites, coming along from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry down to Egypt. Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it that we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Sell him! Then there passed by the Midianites merchantmen. They drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Listen what they did. They didn't do the worst, but they still did wrong. The eventual outcome is that he is sold to the Midianites, who in turn sold him to merchant men, and down to Egypt he goes. This, listen to me, this is about as bad as it can be without dying. But God is still in control. I want you to notice Reuben returns. So obviously, the context of Scripture shows us that when they did this selling, Reuben wasn't around. He wasn't there. He comes back later to the pit, assuming they listened, and Joseph wasn't in the pit. He rent his clothes. Evident outrage. Wow, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Here is a brother in the crowd of evil brothers that still has enough heart and love for people to be outraged when others are done wrong. Do you just get mad when people do you wrong, or are you hurt when others are done wrong? That's the heart of God. Listen to me. That's the mind of Christ. Not just cross me and I have a problem with it. Hurt anybody, I have a problem with it. Amen. We live in an unkind world. We expect them to be unkind, but you and I shouldn't be unkind. We've been on the receiving end of God's love. We ran into grace and mercy, and we get more and more of it every single day. You ought not relish when others are mistreated. You ought not enjoy seeing others' demise. You shouldn't enjoy watching others go through pain. There ought to be something in your spirit that is indicative of the mind of Christ. When somebody is being hurt, so am I. And if you're not, you might want to run a test on your bitterness. Because bitterness is the devil's anesthesia to numb you from being hurt when others are hurt. And maybe the reason why people can be hurt and you're unbothered is because you're bitter. The egregious operation is where we'll close. They took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of goats, dipped it in blood, and sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Wow. We'll get into the rest of it next week about the father. I'm just amazed at how low you can get to even, watch this now. They're mad at who? Joseph. But look at what their anger for one person did. It made them hurt their father. See, that's why you cannot thrive spiritually bitter. You got to do something about that jealousy, about that envy, that stuff that's boiling in you at somebody. Watch this now. You may not know it, but you may be mistreating somebody right here, not because you have a problem with them, but because you got a problem with somebody that doesn't even live in America. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, you may be mistreating. Listen, you might be mean to your husband because you're mad with your daddy. You might be mistreating your friends because you hadn't gotten over the mistreatment that happened to you 20 years. Listen, I didn't bring you here tonight to be some certified therapist. I'm just telling you, I've learned enough from the Word of God to tell you, if you don't deal with your bitterness will deal with you.
Amen.
And by the way, let me close and think about this. Because this just came to me for somebody that's thinking about Reuben. Because Reuben is probably thinking in his mind, when he goes back to the pit and doesn't find Joseph, my attempts to save my brother's life were futile. He was wrong. Here's what I'm telling you. When you give someone advice and that person doesn't listen, don't think that your advice was wasted. But watch this now. They didn't listen to him and put him in another pit where he could get away to his dad. But they didn't kill him either. And somebody in the building is frustrated because you keep preaching and teaching and texting and calling. And they ain't going to never listen to me. Listen to me. Just because they don't do everything you said, you might have stopped them from doing something really bad. And we never think about Reuben saving Joseph's life because we think about his suggestion being ignored. But the Bible said they had already decided to kill him, and Reuben not only gave him a suggestion, the Bible says he took him out of their hands. It tells me that you can never underestimate just how effective and impactful you can be if you just do what you can when you can.
Amen.
And sometimes all you can do is just grab something in the moment. And sometimes you think, it didn't make no sense. I grabbed it, and as soon as I grabbed it, they took it right back. Yeah, but after they took it back, they thought twice. Because before you grabbed it, they were ready to kill him. God is using you where you are. And I wonder if there's not a reward for Reuben in heaven. We think about the activity of Joseph and how God used him to save his family. But he might not have ever made it past. Of course, God could have made a way, and he always does. But I reckon Reuben's glad he got in on it. You may not lead someone to the Lord tomorrow. But what you might do is snatch him out the devil's hand long enough for God to work out his plan. Don't get mad because all of your plans didn't go the way you wanted them to. You do what you can when you can, because God is not limited like you and I are. He can take what little bit we did and do great things with it. And years later, we'll be glad we did what we did. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Bible, God's holy word. I pray that we'll have a better burden for hurting people. We're so quick, sometimes we feast on the negative. We race to conclusions that are detrimental to others' well-being. That is the feeding of the flesh. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, help us to think on those things. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.